Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
What did we do to deserve this? This is great, huh? What a beautiful day. And after Friday was gorgeous, Saturday was incredible, yesterday was great, except for the part where they maybe cut the lawn. I do yard work. I don't like doing yard work. Every time I'm doing it, it's because I know I have to. There is never a day where I wake up and say, hey, I'm going to go out and attack the yard. I wake up and I go, okay, let's just get this over with and do whatever we can do. So it got to almost 80 degrees here yesterday, and I was into the going to do what you got to do mode. And it is great to be with you here. I enjoy doing this exponentially more than I do that. 800-795-9565 is the number. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. A lot. First of all, we start out with Sean Carey. Welcome, my friend.
Welcome. It was a fantastic weekend. Yes, we were hunkered down watching Blue White on Saturday. You were mowing the lawn yesterday. I was waxing our vehicles. Wax on, wax off. So, yeah, yesterday was trying to get as much done as possible just to stay on track. So, yeah, you were already double-digit visits at the golf course. So, was that your first time attacking the lawn this season?
What? The lawn? Yeah, yeah. First time with the lawn. Yeah,
there you
first
go.
First time.
Yeah. Got to keep it intact. Yeah. Got to keep it trim and neat.
Yeah, yeah, fine. I'm sorry, it's not my bag. I do it. I do it as I have to do it. But it doesn't mean to me, it's a good walk spoiled. All right.
Not to be confused with golf, that's for sure.
Citizens Bank Park tonight. The Phillies are back in action against the Mets. Yesterday was the Fanatics' birthday, and the Phillies were great again yesterday. You know what? They're hanging in there. And I think it's been fun so far. They got a great 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation. Like it. Today's show, yesterday, of course, Charlie Morton pitched, saying, you know what? He gave him 6 really good innings yesterday. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are 16 days away from the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And we will be doing the show live at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We won't just be sitting there moving our mouths and doing it on tape. No, no. Be our 5th year doing the show there. How about that? Can you believe it's the 5th tournament we've been to?
Seems like yesterday was the first one you and Kevin were there.
Yeah. And that was terrific, too. People were throwing stuff at him. I was like, wow. Like, feel the love. They kept screaming, stop with the IndyCar thing. You just never got that message. Just kidding. I actually talk IndyCar next month. But the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is a mere 16 days away.
And this Friday is the deadline to get you and 3 of your buddies in on what will be a phenomenal day of golf for a terrific cause as well.
Sign up now. It benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Awesome organization. Great work that they do. And they'll be the beneficiary of this. So come on out. Get your group together. Afternoon flight, morning flight. We are required by the FCC and also by EMS to tell you that we're playing in the morning. that the show's in the afternoon, so that may influence your decision as to which flight you choose. But that'll be Wednesday, May 4th. It is an absolute, I circle it every year. I cannot wait for the date every year. I have more fun at that event than any event I go to during the course of the year. I have an absolute blast. I love going in there. The track is great. Susquehanna Valley Country Club, the staff's great. And the tournament and the people who run it are fabulous, led, of course, by the Purdy's, who do an incredible job. Now, they're the sponsor of today's show, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. This studio gets more conversation than you realize off the air. The Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. To all of you WKOK listeners who came up to me on Saturday and were telling me that they listen to the show on 1070 all the time, thank you. I appreciate that more than you know. And there were a bunch. Thank you. Hope you had a great time. Brandon Smith ended up getting the Frank Patrick Total Commitment Award.
Yeah, kudos to you. You called it on Friday. He's going to get a lot of playing time on Saturday. He certainly did. And what a great award that Brandon picked up at halftime to finish out spring ball.
Yeah, so and he deserved it. Believe me, Total Commitment is a perfect award to give to Brandon Smith because he is all in every way. We try to give you a lot of information on Saturday in the game about players, what they've done, how they've improved, maybe some body weight changes, some personal items on them as well that are personality-based. But let's get your impressions of what you saw. Donnie Collins is going to join us later. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. What did you think of the blue-white game? Also, if you have any questions about a player, what you saw, a scheme, somebody who didn't play, why they didn't play, it's all out there for you. I will take whatever questions or comments that you have at 1-800-795-9565. It was a big weekend in a lot of ways. Michael Robinson, his foundation had an event in State College. Of course, we had Devin Still on the show Friday. Devin Still's foundation, highly successful with what they did at the Nittany Lion Inn Saturday night. Still strong. Special Olympics had a big weekend. I went to an event, emceed an event on Saturday night, and then was the MC with Frank O'Harris yesterday for the run, the Paterno Family Beaver Stadium run. And Sandy Barber was there. James Franklin was there. Current Penn State football players there. Letterman were there. The men's soccer team was there. The women's volleyball team was there. The field hockey team was there yesterday. And it's amazing standing up on that stage and you look out at a sea of people. And now the morning was perfect. I mean, it was, I think everything got started. I want to say maybe 10 after 11, something like that. So the weather was perfect, which is obviously going to draw a bigger crowd. But they raised over $400,000 yesterday for the Paterno Beaver Stadium run to the 50. Amazing. $400,000 for Special Olympics, which is tremendous. It's the largest fundraiser they have during the course of the year. But it's all part of the weekend. And it just all of it was just special. Nobody got hurt Saturday. That's good news. I mean, to me, that's the one part you look at it with any scrimmage. Make sure you walk out of there with nobody hurt. I was very pleased that they found the bubble wrap and threw it around Saquon Barkley. He already had shown enough in the other 14 practices. There was no need for him to take one more hit during the course of a of a scrimmage.
I was going to ask you when the coach decided not to play him on Saturday.
He decided not to play him, I want to say a little bit more than a week ago. It was before the previous weekend. Mark Allen and Andre Robinson were healthy enough and the whole deal, so they were fine there. So that's why those two got the bulk of the carries. It's far more beneficial for each of them to get work, you know, than it was for Barkley. So it was about maybe a week to 10 days before the Blue-White game, he decided he was not going to play him in the game. And that's smart. You need him on September 3rd. You don't need him on April 16th. That's for sure. And Barkley had an outstanding spring. I mean, there's still obviously, I mean, even for him, he's a sophomore. Especially when it comes to pass protection. He's really a lot better now in pass protection. But it's still in an area where he's improving all the time. And he has to work at it. And he knows he has to work at it. But you see Barkley now, what he does in the weight room. What Barkley does running, now he's really a 4.38 now, so he's a sub 4.4 guy. But you also see him on the sideline, and I see this in practice far more, when he's not in a drill, he's the guy yelling out encouragement on the sideline. When your best player is someone who leads by example, that's a pretty good deal to have. He does that. You could see the depth at wide out on Saturday. Godwin, you know, I didn't know if Godwin was going to play. Godwin got banged up a little bit about a week before and had done a couple things on Wednesday. But I mean, it was well enough that he was fine. Now, there's several guys that could have played in the game, you know, on Saturday that didn't play, that if it were they were playing Kent State or they were playing Pitt, they would have played. I mean, Brandon Bell could play. He could. He didn't do anything in the spring at all, but he could. If they were playing Pitt on Saturday, he'd have played. Nyheim Wortman White can't. He's running. He will be full go, he told me, by the middle of June, he thought. But he's running right now, and he's running well, I mean, with ease. Jake Cooper, again, same thing with Jake Cooper. If they were playing Kent State or Pitt on Saturday, Cooper could have played. I mean, a lot of guys kind of fell into that category. There were no season-ending injuries in the spring. That's a big plus. But I think you saw certain things on Saturday. For example, you saw the improvement firsthand of Kevin Givens. You saw firsthand why Colin Castagna is very high on James Franklin's list that needs a long, hard look. You saw that left side of that offensive line of Nelson and Bates. And you notice Mann got back into it. Mann was the starting right guard. Guy was in the middle, and then it's Noah Bay and Paris Palmer on that right side. And Derek Dowery, of course, with Mann on the right as well. I feel pretty good they've got 7, maybe 8 offensive linemen right now that can play. You know, include Wendy Laurent because he's been there before. So I think that's where they are right now. Idealistically, you'd like to have 10, but they don't have 10 right now. I'm going to talk about Connor McGovern here in a moment. We'll get to that as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, I mentioned I wanted to get into Connor McGovern for a moment. Connor McGovern has tremendous potential. tremendous potential. You can see it. You can see in his build. You can see in his footwork. You can see in his work ethic. And I think that when you look at him, he's got a future spot here without a doubt. Is it going to take some time to get there? Sure, because offensive line is not easy. There are days where Connor McGovern had some really good days, and then there were some days where he was on the learning curve. You could see it. Saturday was one of those on-the-learning-curve days. And look, that moved him around a bit. He was playing out there at tackle. A lot of people think that he has a chance to be a center or a guard here. But, again, a lot of people jump the gun and say things such as, well, he'll come in, he'll start right away. It's not that easy. You know, he just got into school. He's 18 years old. He's a long way to go. But does he have a great future here? Yes, he has a great future here. You can see it. How he uses his hands, footwork, how powerfully built he is. And he just didn't have a great day on Saturday. Okay, that happens. So what? Not being counted on at this particular second, but at some point they are going to count on him. And when they do, it's one of the reasons why you want to play people a game too late and not a game too early. Because you want to give them the best opportunity to succeed. Connor McGovern will succeed here. And that's one thing I've noticed about James Franklin. He has the ability, and something that's very important, he has the ability to be patient and not try to rush the process, even when people around, you know, there are people saying, you know, you got to. No, we're going to get into that a little bit more in the next half hour, and then we'll get Donnie Collins on. I mentioned that Jack and I both, this is Jack, this is Jack and I mentioning this. Okay, after the game. And we thought it was significant. We both feel that Penn State has come through a recovery phase. And now, and it was Jack that really pointed this out. He really got the ball rolling on this. That Penn State's now into the foundation phase. We talk about the process in sports all the time. The process. Take my word, the process is not fun. Because the process involves a lot of patience. You want to have a process where you're reloading. Not having to recover. Well, now they've gone through that two-year recovery phase, which was absolutely necessary to go through. You don't get to the foundation phase without surviving the recovery phase. We'll talk more about that next half hour. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. Why? Because they're able to find the right insurance for you that fits your needs at the best price possible, and they can cover you in a wide variety of ways. They put you first. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And don't forget about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament coming up just 16 days away. Friday's the final day to sign up. Get that foursome out there. We'll be playing the morning round, if that means anything to you when it comes to the keyword liability. Okay. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history, 1923, Yankee Stadium opened in the Bronx, the house that Ruth built. The Yankees beat the Red Sox 4-1. John Philip Sousa's band played the national anthem. And the first home run hit? A three-run shot by Babe Ruth in the house that Ruth built. One of the first of 259 home runs that Babe Ruth hit in Yankee Stadium 1. 1938, President Franklin Roosevelt threw out the first pitch, preceding the opener between the Washington Senators and the Philadelphia A's. Ed Rommel in 1956 became the first umpire to wear glasses during a major league game between the Yankees and the Washington Senators. He still got stuff wrong. No, I'm just kidding. 1962, Bill Russell, 30 points, 40 rebounds. The Celtics beat the Lakers to win their fourth straight NBA title. And then in 1966, on this day, Bill Russell became the first player coach for the Boston Celtics, the first African-American head coach in the history of the game. He won two titles as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. 1977, Orioles fans, Eddie Murray at his first career home run. 1982, Braves set a National League record when they won their 11th straight game from the start of the season. 1985, Tulane abolished its 72-year-old basketball program because of fixed games, drug abuse, and payments to players. They eventually did bring it back. 1987, Three River Stadium, off the Pirates, Mike Schmidt hit his 500th career home run. In all the baseball I have ever watched, Mike Schmidt is the best all-around third baseman I have ever seen. Brooks Robinson was very special. Orioles fans can argue all day long that Brooks Robinson is the best all-around third baseman in the history of baseball. And they would be completely justified in making that argument because Brooks Robinson was extremely special. Everyone has their own opinion about who's the best here, the best there. To me, the best all-around third baseman I ever saw in the field, at the plate, driving in runs, hitting home runs, was Michael Jack Schmidt. And I just, and again, I'm not, I think everyone knows this. I didn't grow up as a Phillies fan. So I have no dog in the hunt at all. None. I'm just, so when I tell you I think he's the best all-around third baseman I've seen in all my days watching Major League Baseball, in the field, at the plate. Once he cut down on the strikeouts, early in his career, he struck out too much. Once he cut down the strikeouts and hit for a better average, wow, he was incredibly special. But my point being is this. I'm not a Phillies fan. I have no skin in the game. And so I think I'm giving a rather objective opinion. How about that? All right. Jack Ham and I talked about this at the end of the broadcast. We have obviously we saw a lot of practices ourselves, but we have also watched we've watched this program go through every phase of this thing. And it's been interesting. I've talked about this before in the fact that there are some, not many, but there are some, a pocket of individuals that have looked at every game being played here as if it was under a normal Penn State situation. Normal like 1973, normal like 1983, normal like 1993, normal like 2005, whatever. And it hasn't been. It just hasn't been. someone that would come in to take over the program, or someone in place guiding the program through this particular stage. And turned out that person is James Franklin. Bill O'Brien did not leave the cupboard bare. Bill O'Brien had his hands tied recruiting-wise, where he couldn't recruit many. He wasn't allowed to recruit many people because of the rules. So it was forced to be bare in several areas, or forced to be thin in several areas. Has nothing to do with how hard Bill and his staff worked. They worked tirelessly and did the best they could under the circumstance. I have great respect and always will for him. Always will. Very, very much so. Excellent football coach, great guy. But he always told me that 14 and 15 were the years that worried him the most. Now, this is when he thought he was still going to have the sanctions in place. Gradually, they started being lessened, rolled back, cut back, so forth. But as we've pointed out many times on the show, there's not a magic wand to this. So it turned out that when Bill had the opportunity with the Houston Texans, he took the job with the Houston Texans. Who can blame him? There's 32 of those jobs in the world. He's got one of them. And so it was James Franklin that came in and had to guide Penn State through the recovery phase. Now, originally, the recovery phase was going to be probably 17 and 18. But when they started rolling things back, giving stuff back, that recovery phase turned out to be 14 and 15. And that's all it was a recovery phase. You're trying to hang in, do the best you can with limited numbers, trying to build your numbers back up, trying to get something back on track, trying to get a way of playing that allows you to win. And I've talked about, you know, areas where you're thin. It affects when your margin of error really gets shrunk down. You have to make tough decisions during the course of games, and you don't feel like you have all the options available for you to make decisions. It's as simple as that. People have talked about in-game decision-making. Well, it's not so easy to do in-game decision-making when a lot of your options were taken out of your hands. Now where are they? Jack brought this up in the postgame, and he was absolutely right on Saturday. You can see now the foundation phase, where they're laying the foundation. If you know, they've been in the recovery phase of this thing. Now you can see they're into the foundation phase. Players that they brought in a couple of years ago, now older. Marcus Allen's now a junior. Saeed Blacknall, who had a fabulous spring, is now a junior. Chris Godwin's now a junior. Now you got Saquon Barkley, who was brought in, is about to be a sophomore. Andrew Nelson is a redshirt junior. Man's a redshirt junior. You've got, you know, Guy is a senior now. You got a redshirt freshman in Bates, redshirt sophomore Noah Bay, Paris Palmer, obviously, who's JC that brought in as well. Gesicki's about to be a junior. Hamilton's a redshirt junior. Sickles is a redshirt junior. Schwann's a senior. Torrance Brown's a redshirt sophomore. Antoine White's a redshirt sophomore. Kevin Givens a redshirt freshman. Cabinda's a true junior. Bowen's a sophomore. Cooper's a sophomore. Haley's a true junior. Marcus Allen, as I mentioned earlier, now about to be a true junior. Apke's a true junior. John Reed's a true sophomore. Not a lot of senior names in there. This is the foundation group that takes you now to the next step. So after going through a recovery phase, which unfortunately was necessary, it's not your making as fans, it's not James Franklin's making, and we all know it wasn't Bill O'Brien or Joe Paterno's making. It was the making of another outside entity. We know that, okay? Everybody knows that. But you still had to go through it. And now that they threw that, now you're at the foundation phase. You see the foundation being laid for what they want. The offense, that's the way it's gone the entire preseason. And they've done a great job of grasping the elements of the offense with the zone blocking. It helps the offensive line. It fits the style of the quarterbacks. And they picked up on it right away. Defensively, though, there are some subtle changes as well. One of them is this. Bob Shoup was very big on calling two defenses and then check with me. So if they come out in a certain formation or look, we'll go with this one. They come out with a different look or formation, we'll go with this one. You really have to have a junior-senior group to really excel at that because, you know, there's a lot of information being thrown at you on each play. And Bob had that, and Bob did a great job with it. Brent Pry, though, is, I call a defense. Now let's have some fun and let's disguise it. And they did a great job all spring of disguising what you're doing. Now, what you saw was basic on Saturday. Everything's pretty basic defensively, pretty basic offensively. But you can still fool them once in a while. I mean, the one interception in the game, Trace McSorley threw Omani Oruyuwariye, picked off that pass, and they completely fooled him on what the coverage was. Completely fooled him on the coverage. But that's what they've been doing. They've been disguising defenses all spring, and doing that allows a little bit of personality to come out, and you saw that. There were days, last week was a perfect example. Monday last week was a day in practice where the offense really shined. Wednesday was a day where the defense really shined. In the end, that kind of balance, where you go through 15 of these, and one side of the ball owns almost all 15 of them, you're like, okay, great. Well, I feel good about that, but what about this? But when you can walk out of a series of practices, and you feel like each side got something out of it, I think that's important. Monday's practice, I thought the offense had itself a really good day. Wednesday's practice, I thought it was the defense's day. Saturday, it was the days for the ones on both sides to shine, and the ones did. Plenty of questions and comments you may have. I'd like to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. On News Radio 1070, WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. 800-795-9565. We start out with Tony in Shamokin. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Good, Steve. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yep. what impressed me Saturday was the overall speed. I mean, I don't know if I ever seen a Penn State team with that much speed.
Yeah, they can run, Tony, across the board, and that's what you need. And that transformation as to what you're seeing, part of that transformation was to get more speed at every position across the board.
Well, they certainly achieved that. Tommy Stevens, he looked good. I mean, of course, Trace looked good, too, but Tommy was with the second team. But when he got his shot with the first team, he took him right down the court.
Tommy's a good quarterback. I like Tommy. He throws the deep ball actually pretty well. You saw Juwan Johnson had that one he lost. He kind of hung out Danny Dalton to dry on that pass down the middle. But for the most part, Tommy has a really good arm. He probably has the best arm of the group, and he's a really good athlete the way he runs. I like Tommy a lot, and Tommy can get you out of trouble too.
Well, what impressed me was one play he was taken off. And he pulled up before he crossed the line of scrimmage. I don't remember if he completed the pass or not. But that's what Turno used to say. That was a big league play, the way he pulled up there.
Yeah, he had great awareness of where he happened to be at the time. That was the key. He had awareness. I remember the play. He was rolling to his right as I saw it. Rolling to his right, came up, and then backed up behind the line of scrimmage, then threw it.
But that might be the one I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gesicki, you said he was a junior. I thought he was a sophomore.
He's a junior because, remember, he played in James' first year at tight end, and then he played all last year, so he's going to be a junior coming up.
Oh, I thought he was only a sophomore. Oh, well, can't be right all the time. Listen, have a great day.
You too, Tony. Thanks.
I think we're going to have a good year. Bye.
Yep, I'm with you, Tony. Thanks. We go from Shamokin to Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Steve. How are you? Hey, I just was going to – I did not get to watch much of the game. I watched the replay on Big Ten Network at night, some of it, and I saw the interview with Michael Robinson. But you may have covered this, and maybe I didn't. So if you want to cover it sometime, and I'll just listen the rest of the time, what kind of grades or how do you think the new coaches did, the offensive coordinator and so on and so forth, and the guys that, you know, obviously there's going to be a whole different system. Michael Robinson seemed to think that the football team will be more fun to watch. And I'm paraphrasing that kind of his interview in a sense. So we'll see how that goes. And then my other question for you is, you know, you keep mentioning these redshirts. How do they work the financial aid packages for guys that are on 5 years of scholarships? I guess that's my question for you.
Yeah, they get 5 years of aid. I mean, so in other words, if you're on scholarship, the basic of the scholarship is that you get 5 years to play four.
Okay, so yeah, I understand that. So basically, they got to come up with at least a year on their own or partial, whatever.
No. They get 5 years of aid if they're on scholarship. They're red, and you don't declare that fifth year until you get to the fifth year. Well, if you do, you're part of the 85 scholarship limit. So if you're within the 85 scholarship limit, you would get a full year of aid. So some guys get five full years of aid.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I guess it's apples and oranges in a sense, because I was thinking about wrestlers. They get 9 point whatever for scholarships. So I guess my other it's not fair in a sense. But, and my other comment, my other thing was that maybe you've already talked about the coaching and how you thought they created and how you and Jack thought they did. But that's what I actually was more interested in a sense.
I'm going to get to that next half hour, Dick.
I missed the beginning of your comments. I thought, well, maybe you covered it already.
I had not covered it yet, so I'm going to. The 9.9, it used to be 11 scholarships. And you know why it's 9.9? Because they made a change years ago, and they rolled back scholarships 10% in certain areas. I think when they went back to 85. So 11 was minus 1.1 and 9.9. That's how they came up with it. Really? Amazing.